Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Dr. David Oyedepo, the presiding bishop of Winners Chapel International, to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppression of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet.
Experience throughout the season, he has shown you his love, his mercies, his compassion that faileth not. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Give him praise. Give him glory. Celebrate him. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name. You are highly lifted up. There is no one like you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are highly lifted up. There is no gathering is unto you this morning. We ask that you reach out to us. Send forth your word, the word that brings healing, deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes, show us great and mighty things from your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Celebrate Jesus with a clap. Hallelujah. Please be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The theme of the month remains, godliness is profitable unto all things. If profit is what you want, godliness is a gateway. If profit is your desire, godliness is a gateway. Until you open your heart to godliness, losses will be the order of the day. But when you position yourself for godliness, then profit becomes inevitable. I pray for someone today that you will experience the profitings of life in Jesus' name. And we have been considering understanding the costs and the cure for ungodliness. Understanding the costs and the cure for ungodliness. And what a joy today is our healing banquet service. Like we had in that testimony just now, God is about to heal somebody of a sickness. There are sicknesses that have stayed too long in your body. God is about to uproot it supernaturally. Nobody touched him, but the word of God touched him. Nobody touched him, the word of God reached out to him. Today, may God's word reach out to you where you are. You might either be in the auditorium or you are watching from home. May the word of God reach you there. In the name of Jesus. Our brother said that he had a pain for a long time on his ears. And then supernaturally, God reached out to him. The pain disappeared. Some sicknesses are about to disappear also in the name of Jesus. It is called a banquet because God is reaching out to us more than enough to reach out to us this morning. God will reach out to somebody in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Take note this morning concerning the subject of godliness, that the kingdom of God is full of treasures, but the treasure of the kingdom must not be exchanged with the pleasure of this world. The kingdom of God is full of treasures, but the treasures in this kingdom must not be exchanged with the trash of the world. Everything that the world will give to you is trash. But when it comes to the kingdom, it gives you blessings. It gives you pleasure. Jesus said, the Lord thy God, it shall bless your bread and water. Take away sickness from the midst of you. That is what the kingdom offers. May God offer you that treasure in the name of Jesus. Hear this, your rating in this kingdom is not a function of what you possess, but your spiritual stand with God. God saw a man, he called him his friend. It was not a function of what he had physically. It's a function of relationship. So your relationship with God is what is, that is your right rating as far as this kingdom is concerned. May God rate you correctly because of your relationship with him in the name of Jesus Christ. If you value the things, you will pay, or sorry, value anything, you pay at any cost for it. If you value a thing, you will pay for it at any cost. I saw this story talking about value. A man was about to pass on, and then he carried a wristwatch that had been passed from generation to generation in his family. The wristwatch, from what the man told his son, is over 200 years. So from one generation to another, they pass it on to themselves, the sons. Okay, take. Then the son at old age passes on to his own son, and they keep doing like that for 200 years. And as this man gave the son looked at it and needed to go to a shop to check how much they will buy it. It was an old wristwatch, 200 years wristwatch. We always look at something of irrelevance. And he took it to one shop to see if they could buy it. They looked at it, they said all they could pay was $5. And the guy came back to his father and said, this watch is worth $5. So to him, it was not what his father says it was. But the father said, okay, take it somewhere else. Try a museum. He took it to a museum and they told him they are ready to pay $1 million for it. Now, their understanding, the value they pay on the wristwatch determines the cost they are desiring to offer. Until you understand the costs that comes with godliness, you might not be able to pay the price for it. But may God open your eyes to place correct value on godliness. And as you place correct value, may you pay the price. In the name of Jesus Christ. Not everyone will value how you carry yourself. Your Christian life will irritate some people. Expect it. They say you're only 2 months. You are going to church again. If you go to church, we will look after your business. They told our father in faith, God's servant. They say if you want to be a student, be a student. And if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. He told them, he said, no, I am a part-time student and a full-time Christian. Not everyone will value what you carry. One with God is more than a majority. Not everyone will accept your ideology. Your Christianity might irritate. God is more than a majority. Take note this morning that godliness is at a cost. Ungodliness is also at a cost. However, the cost of godliness is by choice, but the cost of ungodliness is by force. The cost of godliness is by choice. No wonder. Say, choose ye who you will serve. But here, the cost of ungodliness is by force. You sign for it. The wages of sin is dead. The soul that sin shall die is by force. Why? You are ungodly. Note that the devil will always negotiate your godliness with you. Please refuse. Unrighteousness begins with negotiation. What is there? Other people are doing it. That's negotiation. Nobody might come to you physically to tell you to go wrong or to hurt God, to commit sin. But the devil comes quietly, like he went to Eve. He said, what is there? When you do it, you will ask for mercy. When you see Ananias and Sapphira, you might not have to see them. You don't have to see them. If you ask them their story, the door of mercy closed. No second chance. Perhaps they have been lying little like that. And they maybe asked for mercy. Or maybe they didn't even ask for mercy. They were going like that. But there was this day that the man lied, he died. The wife lied, they died. That was the end. That shall not be your story. In the mighty name of Jesus. So hold this, that the cost of godliness is by choice. Cost of ungodliness is by force. Praise the name of the Lord. And quickly, let's consider the cost of ungodliness. When you refuse to be ungodly, this is what you attract. Number one, we said it engenders failure and defeat. We mentioned it in the first service. It engenders failure and defeat. You can see that in the story of Achan. Joshua chapter 1, sorry, chapter 7, 1 to 21, how Achan took an accosting and everybody suffered. The whole of Israel suffered for one man's sin. It engenders failure and defeat. Hear this, that godliness makes you failure proof. Godliness makes you failure proof. It secures you against failure. When you live a lifestyle of sin, you have broken the edge. And the Bible says, he that breaks the edge, the serpent will bite. So you opened your door, the door of your life, the door of your business, the door of your career, the door of your health to the devil when you live the life of ungodliness. And I said the cheapest way to defeat man is to put enmity between him and God. That is why they look for an opportunity against Daniel. They couldn't find one except against his God. The cheapest way to defeat man is to put enmity between man and his God. And that is only done by sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. And number two, we said it sears shame and reproach. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. You will not experience the reproach of sin. And for you not to experience the reproach of sin, you must live godly. You must live godly until you hand over your spiritual man to, then you are untouchable. Number three, it sears fear and dread. It sears fear and dread. Ungodliness places you in a position of fear. It places on you the bag of fear. Life cannot be fair when you live in fear. Like Job said, the thing I greatly fear, even though it was a righteous man, has come upon him. Now, if what a righteous man fear come upon you, what happens to an unrighteous man? Now, nobody talked about Job, sir. It was God that was bragging about him. Have you considered my servant Job? Meaning, he was 100% as it were. He said the man was perfect. He was upright. And he had plenty of things. So, he was doing well all around that. But hear this. He said, the thing I greatly fear came upon me. Fear is a package, if you like, baggage, if you like, luggage from Satan. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, who must have given us? It's the devil. So when you live an ungodly life, you live in fear. Hey, anything can happen. No, you can start thinking negatively. Why? You are ungodly. An ungodly man will always think negatively. But that shall not be you. Fear removes your defense. Fear removes your defense. You hear the person start talking. Just in case I don't survive this sickness. Just in case. Thinking negatively of himself. Why? He is living in fear. What is the product? It was sin. That's why the Bible says this. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1, it said the wicked flee when no man pursueth. That's a terrible flee. Nobody's pursuing him. So where will he stop? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous is as bold as lion. And remember what God said. He said, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. So because of fear, he can't approach the throne of grace. He approaches the throne of grace. Instead of getting grace, he gets disgrace because of fear. He approaches the throne of grace where there is grace, but yet others approach and get grace. But he approaches and gets disgrace. That shall not be your experience. In the name of Jesus Christ. And just an addition, in this third service, the fourth service, you're not privileged to get this one. It blocks access to divine favor. Ungodliness blocks access to that divine favor. You wonder why people promise and fail. Check your spiritual life. You have deflated favor. So you are favorless. I don't know if there's any word like that. It's disfavored, unfavored, anything but not favored. In Psalm chapter 5 verse 12, it says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. So there are people he blesses, not the unrighteous. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Meaning, he's soaked in favor. Why? He's a righteous man. Who is a righteous man? A man making right choices. Decision, we have said it from the beginning, aligning your decision with God. Is this godly? If it's not godly, leave it alone. Is this godly? If it is not godly, leave it alone. Making God your template. Making God your template. If you sit down to dream of how to be righteous, you are wasting your time. Righteousness is taking right step per time. Right step per time. After you take this step, you think of the next one. But if you sit down to list what you will take, the steps you will take, you might never take anyone. You are creating a dream that might never be fulfilled. Righteousness is taking the right step per time. It's time to talk to your child, the right step. How should I talk to this one? Time to talk to your wife, the right step. Should I harass her? Jesus, harass her. That is righteousness, sir. We are thinking it's, some of us will never steal because somehow we just grow up never to steal. But there are other things that you just need to make the right choice. You know what the Bible says about sin? In the book of James chapter 4 verse 17, it says, to him who knoweth to do good and do it not, it's a sin. And you know, doing good is there are so many things. Well, one of them is like a call, just a call. He knoweth it, that is supposed to do. So that one too is a sin. Making right choices per time. May God engrace someone to make right choice. Why? Because it is right choice that procures favor. Righteousness procures favor. God does not socialize with the ungodly. He blesses the righteous. God does not socialize with the ungodly. He blesses the righteous. May God bless somebody. So, it is a magnetic force that draws favor to you. Godliness or righteousness is a magnetic force. It draws favor. You don't request for it. They wait for you to favor you. Where people are standing waiting for you. Do you need anything? In case you don't need now, when you need, let me know. People standing to favor you. God arranging them at different junctions of your life for your help. May God arrange people to favor you. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, sin repels. Righteousness attracts favor. Sin repairs favor, drives favor away. Righteousness procures favor. Favor will pursue you. Genesis chapter 42 verse 18. It says, and Joseph said unto them the third day, these two, and live, for I fear God. That's a man that fears God. Look at the product of his fear for God. Verse 40. Genesis chapter 42 verse 40. He said, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. He became a ruler because he feared God. Remember, he had opportunity to betray his master, but he will not do that. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. How? He procured it by righteousness, by the fear of the Lord. Strange blessings in strange land. He was not an indigent, but he procured favor. Why? He had a right standing with God. That shall be your experience from today. Let's look at how to deal with forces of ungodliness. How to deal with forces of ungodliness. Say, when you ignore the cost of godliness, you will incur losses. When you ignore it, you will incur losses. How do we deal with it? I mentioned two in the first service. I will add one in this service. We must strive to lay aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us. We must strive to lay aside. What you don't lay aside as a sin will lay you aside. The sin you don't bury will bury you. Say, God forbid. So we must strive to lay it aside. Righteousness is a battle. You must put a fight, like we have been taught in our midweek services. You must put a fight against it, because the plan of the devil is actually to steal, to kill, and to destroy. None of them shows mercy. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his agenda. So if you want to escape, you must live godly. When you do business with your friends, don't claim to outsmart them. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. That's righteousness. You don't have to deceive people. When you rob people, you didn't just rob them. You remember Gehazi and Naaman? Here it is. Every time you steal what is not yours, you take their curses. Gehazi went, took the things that Naaman came with. And as he took it, he never knew he has taken the symptom of leprosy. He only needed somebody to reveal it. And he got to Elisha. He said, just like that man was healed, you are taking what he has dropped. So the leprosy of Naaman was transferred to Gehazi. So with every person that steals, in case you don't know, you rob people with a pen or physically, what you are doing is to carry the cost of the person. There's a transfer. You can't carry the two. When you take what belongs to others, something is taken away from you. You will not lose your life, sir. So it's a battle. You must fight to uphold yourself in righteousness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. You cannot carry weight and finish the race. Like I said in the first service, you need to drop weight to go high. You can't change level with a weight. You must drop the weight to go up. You need to drop the weight to go far. You need to drop the weight to arrive on time. Now, this weight I'm talking about are spiritual things. How many of you have seen a footballer playing in some European club and is very fat? No, you will first share this weight. In fact, the fatter, the longer he stays on the bench. Because it's not something you say by your mouth. They need to see skills. And how many skills can you get with that weight? As far as football is concerned. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the weight must be shaded if you must go far. You want to arrive, talking about weight spiritually, sin, satanic baggages, it must be dropped. Number two, we must flee from all traps of evil. Every day you wake up, the devil goes into the field to set traps. As you wake up, he also wakes up to set traps. He said, when men slept, the enemy came to sow wealth. Those are the traps. He set traps daily, redeeming the days, for the days are evil. It is the trap. The trap that is set daily. You have not woken up, you have not gotten to your office. Even your boss have not arrived. He has set one trap there to see whether you will fall. But hellish, the grace of God will cause you to escape always. In the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his body. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All of these are traps. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money, abstain. They are sharing money you cannot explain. Please don't say a wolf. And you join them. Hey, this is a wolf. You collect it, you didn't ask what you are eating. Number 3, we must ensure to keep a right company. This was not mentioned in the first service. We must ensure to keep a right company. It has been said over and over again that the company you keep determines what accompanies you. I don't need to know too much about you. All I need to know is your friend. Check your friend very well. If you don't like their lifestyle, you better run, because you are actually exactly the replicant of your friend, if not worse. While I was in school, the first year in every school I've ever attended was to check, the first semester was to check who was who better. So that you are my friend, the first semester is not a guarantee that we will talk in the next one. When I see your result, I see where you are, I leave you. Because if I continue, I will fail like you. So if you want to step up, then you struggle to follow. So I look, it's not whether the person is like, no, I follow them because what brought me to school is to study. If you follow the company of failure, there is nothing that can save you. You will fail gallantly without mercy. I had a friend, first time we just used him, and then we did exam. And then the guy will always tell us that our marking scheme, he won't even allow you to rest. As soon as we finish the paper, marking scheme, he's jumping, marking scheme. He will say, he has given the lecturer marking scheme, meaning they will use his script to mark our own. So the results came out, and then I didn't know on time, but people came to tell us that when you got to the board, you check your name and everything, if not all, maybe just one or two, he escaped. But he failed very well, and he collapsed at that spot. They brought him back. That was the end of our friendship. I couldn't allow us to stay in the same room, because this thing is contagious. So whatever is making you to fail, I had to run away from it. No, somebody told you marking scheme, and it was the reverse. Please talk less to your children. Just check their friends. Help them change their friends. If you can identify the right one, your child will do well. How do I know that? Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walk with the wise shall be wise. The companion of fool shall fail, shall be destroyed. So, if your children get wise friends, they shall be wise. So, if I'm to have, my child is to have a friend, please, I want to see your result. When you see the result, why did you fail like this if you failed? Then you call your son to the corner. This one cannot help you to succeed. So if the child, young man, wants to succeed, he should pursue. Not that you will not wait. No. You want to leave some evil habits, you need to share the way some friends. You know them when they come, they mess your heart up. The discussion is not godly. If we are to play the discussion on a video, you will not be able to watch. Please stay away from them. Don't negotiate your life. That is your destiny you are playing with. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, just in case you want to pamper it. Be not deceived. Guys, don't pray about it. Be not be deceived. Evil communication will corrupt good manners. So if your communication is evil, your manners will be corrupted. No matter how good your manner was. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there are people you must walk with. There are people you must never walk with. Nor standeth in the ways of sinners. Nor seated in the seat of the scornful. So the man that sits there is cursed. Blessed is the man that does not sit there. But the man that not stand there, blessed is he. But the one that decides to sit with them, to stand with them, to go in their ways, cursed is he. The opposite of blessing is what? There's no in between. Look at it. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why? Because of the people he moves with. That bring out forth his fruit in season. The leaves also shall never wither. Is that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the prosperity of your hand has so much to do with the company you keep. Whatsoever he doeth, it is not the class of what he does. It is not the profession he has. No. Whatsoever he picks, he shall prosper in it. Why? I selected the people he's working with. What is the story of Elijah without Elijah? What will have been the story of Lot without Abraham? What more can we say about Timothy if not for Paul? What will you have said about these fellows? Is it Joshua without Moses? But there are still other set of guys in scriptures that had a messed up destiny because of who they related with. We have one called Absalom. He was relating with his father's enemy. Ahithophel gave him wrong counsel. The guy began to fight his father. One day, they were at battle, and then the guy, his heir, hanged him, and he died. There was this one also called Ammon. He was Absalom. Ammon. He had a friend called Jonadab. Ammon was seeing his stepsister. He liked her because she was fair to look upon. And this guy was subtle. He called him and said, I have a skill for you. You know, I'm a sharp guy. That's what they call it in the world. I'm a sharp guy. So he told him to pretend as if he's sick. His sister will bring food, then force her and sleep with her. He did it. He died. Can you see association? So the association you keep either makes you or destroys you. You will not be destroyed. And this does not have respect for age. I know I'm a man of myself. It's a matter of time. If your friend is beating his wife, you have told him 1, 2, 3 times, he refuses to stop. Run away. If not, one day you'll practice. So to help your husband, and you see that they are always fighting, to help your husband, pull him away from them so that he won't rehearse with you. The person is taking point something. Ask every alcoholic person. Every drunkard, he did not start with that percentage he's drinking now. He started somewhere, 0 point something. From 0 point something to 2 point, I don't know. Like that, I become a drunk. Everyone you see that smokes, an addict, started with one stick. None of them started with big things. They started small, small. Before you know, they smoke cigarettes, it's not catching them again. They want to sniff something. It starts some somewhere. So the way to escape is to shed those leaves, shed them away. Don't tell them you want to separate. You will never separate if you have to explain. Hello, Joy, from today, you see, I've received Jesus. So I want us to go. You will never separate. She will call 7, 8 friends to come and beg you to continue friendship. No, you don't say. The Bible says, flee from appearance of evil. If joy is contributing to your full lifestyle, you flee. You don't take permission to flee. You block the person. You unfriend the person. Everything that is, you understand what I mean? You do it. That's how to separate from them. Because they will stop you from getting to your place in and destiny. May the Lord grant somebody understanding. Remember that today is our healing banquet service. And by the power of God, whatever needs to leave you, for you to achieve your purpose in life, will leave you today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Take note this morning that we have provisions of God concerning our wholeness. I wish above all things that thou beest in, that thou prospered and be in health, even as your soul prospered. So your prosperity is God's desire. 3 John 2. Take note of some of this provision. Number one, take note that we have become a lively stone as a redeemed. You have become a lively stone, meaning you are a stone in a living form. You are stone in a living form. You know what Jesus said about stone? You fall on it, you are broken in pieces, it falls on you, you are grounded into powder. That is who you are. You are lively stone, immune to all manner of sickness and disease. Have you ever gone to any hospital and said stone came for treatment? You are a living stone. You are living stone. So you must understand that. Understand it and believe it, that you are a living stone. That is why sickness must not have dominion over you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, the word of God carried it. Ye also, as living stone, 1 Peter 2 5, are built up a spiritual house. Can you see that? And holy priesthood. When symptoms come, remind symptoms who you are. Because symptoms will come to test you. Place you a little thing. So if you catch it and hold it, it stays with you. Instead of catching it, punch it away. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, 5. And holy priesthood, to offer all spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So you carry Christ, you can't carry sickness. You can't carry crisis. You carry Christ, you can't carry crisis. You shouldn't carry crisis. There is Christ in you. There is Christ in you. Tell it to yourself, there is Christ in me. The hope of glory. There is Christ in me. The hope of glory. Take note number two, your provision. Healing is our right in redemption. We receive God so that we can be healed also. It comes, it's a complete pack. Healing is our right in redemption. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4. Say, surely he had borne our griefs. So what you are bearing now, what is not yours. He already bore the grief. You are not supposed to be grieved. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. What are you now carrying? Drop it. It's not your own. He carried it. You can't carry it again. Let your heart be at rest. He has borne, he has carried it. You cannot carry it again. So whatever high pressure you are carrying right now, I decree that it diffuses now, now, now. In the name of Jesus. Go and check again. It is no longer there. Anyone suffering from high blood pressure, wherever you are right now, I decree supernatural healing. You can't have God. The Bible says, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures, not pressure. So IBP is not in his right hand. What is there is pleasure, sweetness of life. No more pressure for you. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. It was bruised for our iniquities. Just in case sin is the reason, don't allow the devil to keep you there guilty of your past. Don't pass away with your past. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Then with his stripes, we were healed. One of the things the devil can never do is to return the stripe back to him. He cannot. That he made a mistake, but that mistake is a permanent one, and we like it like that. By his stripes, with his stripes, you were healed. Not you about to heal. You were healed. So before the symptom came, you were healed. Every believer, a redeemed child of God, does not get sick. It is symptoms. When you see the symptoms, remind the one that is distributing it. No parking. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, this is why healing is the bread of all children of God. Healing is a children's bread. Whenever there is need to feed a child and you are in a hurry, one of the quickest food to do is to do what? Tea and bread. Because in a short while, it is done. If a child, for instance, you know, sometimes they sleep early, they don't eat in the night. So you quickly give them what? Tea and bread, because every other thing will take time. Sir, healing is the cheapest thing. It's the tea and bread of the kingdom. You had that testimony. He was seated. And boom. For how long was it? The pain? Roy Manuel? For how long was the pain? In the ear? For some times. It has been there troubling him. And then all of a sudden, boom. That is how God. It doesn't take a longer time to heal HIV than to take away headache. You are the one that is giving them titles. Man classify it. God does not classify it. By his tribe, they are healed. You can list it. It doesn't take time. Coronavirus is the same thing as headache in the eyes of God. It's the same thing. We are the one that gave them classes. So no matter what class it is, may the healing power resident in the anointing crush it in the name of Jesus. You will not pay money for sickness anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. And an instrument, mystery that God wants to use today to crush every form of sickness and disease is the anointing. Remember, it's an anointing service this morning. What is in the anointing oil? Because when you don't know what is in it, you don't know what to expect. And it is the expectation of a righteous that shall not be cut off. So you must know what is inside to know what to expect, and then you see the manifestation of your expectation. So therefore, what is in the anointing oil? You can see it in Exodus chapter 30, beginning from verse 25 to 31. The Bible made mention how the anointing should be put together was given to Moses. And he went further, just to mention a few. In verse 29, he said, And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. Like I said in the first service, holiness comes also by the impartation of anointing oil. It doesn't matter how a man is when he's ministered to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Whatever character is struggling with, the anointing can destroy it. That is why I know that whatever sin any one of us is battling with here today, may this anointing crush it. And the Bible went further to say in verse 30, it said, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in a priest's office. And the Bible says, you are priests, you are king, meant to reign. So if you must reign, then you need the impartation of the oil, the anointing oil. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. So it is a forever ordinance. It is forever ordinance. Everlasting ordinance. No wonder in James chapter 5 verse 14 to 15, is anyone sick among you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. They pray for him, anointing him with oil. He said the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Anointing him with oil. So anointing is an instrument that brings health and vitality. So you don't have to be sick before you are anointed. You anoint so that you don't have to be sick. Hello. You don't have to be sick so that you can be anointed. You anoint so that you don't have to be sick. There is nothing wrong with medication. Hope you know that. But it is a weight. You have been timing yourself. When we like, I miss my drug. Oh, what kind of thing? Will it still work? It's a weight. Some people don't think, they don't remember it, that is a drug. Why? They don't need it. It takes a sick to go to the hospital for treatment. But for you, from sickler to healer, in the name of Jesus. You will be the one to pray for people to come out of sickness in the name of Jesus. So what is in the oil? Number one, the power of God that destroy yokes is in the oil, including the yoke of sin, habits, dangerous habits that's difficult to live. A brother was came to join this church. At coming, he had an encounter with God's word concerning the anointing and then the communion, and he began to take these things. This was an addicted smoker. He smokes as if he smokes for a living. He smokes, he's an addicted smoker. And all of a sudden, he went to, and a drunkard also. He went to drink one day. He lost taste. He tried cigarettes. The thing lost it. It was bitter to him. Sin becomes bitter when the anointing is introduced. It becomes impossible to commit it when the anointing. I tell people, if you are having any addiction, you take the anointing. I told us in first service of someone, a lady that was a prostitute before she gave her life to Christ. And then she said sometimes she still feel funny. I told her, partake of the anointing. And as she started taking it, that satanic affliction stopped. No matter what you have found yourself doing that you don't want to do ordinarily, the anointing can help you. May the anointing oil break every yoke. And you can see that clearly in Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. Say, yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What more? Number two, the healing power of God is resident in the anointing oil. The healing power of God, like I mentioned earlier, it is an instrument. It's an instrument. It's a mystery to erase misery of sickness and disease. That is what the anointing oil is. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You partake of it, don't debate it. If you think of being sanitized, or if you think of the oil, is it pure? Where did they make it? You will not be healed. You had the testimony. Many of us had the testimony of someone that didn't have anything but Vaseline in the house. Watching one of the live broadcasts early time of this COVID thing, God's servant shared the testimony. Was watching from afar and there was no anointing oil. So picked Vaseline that you used to rub your body a cream and then took it as anointing oil. And that satanic force was destroyed. You have heard of someone that went and swept the church and mixed it as tea and took it as satanic affliction, destroyed. So if you keep analyzing, you will not do anything. You have analyzed thus far. Stop it. Analysis leads to paralysis. Stop it. Stop it. Start thinking kingdom. There's power in the anointing oil. It's anointing that heals. Like I mentioned earlier, James chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. In Mark 6, 7, 12 and 13, you see how Jesus released them. They went two by two, and verse 13, and they cast out many devils, many, many devils by the anointing. So it's the cheapest way to cast out devils. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, breakthrough power of God is resident in the anointing oil. The breakthrough, you want to break through on every side, break forth on every side, please go for the anointing. Go for the anointing. You can see that in the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Every time you are anointed, the Spirit of the Lord comes again upon you afresh. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. So when the Spirit of God comes upon you, it moves you forward. The Spirit of the Lord cannot come on you and you go backward. You go forward. From today, you are going forward. He went forward until he met Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then he brought down the head of Goliath. He removed the head. A small boy that was underrated. Please don't underrate the anointed. When a man like you, a woman like you is carrying the oil, you shouldn't be underrated. Because you that looks like a security today might end up being the manager soon. Don't underrate them anointed. What more? Number four, the protection power of God is upon the anointed. In Psalm 105, 13 to 15, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Like he was warning people on their behalf, warning them. He warned. Somebody took the wife of Abraham. He warned the person in the dream. The man returned the wife with properties as compensation for mistakenly taking his wife in the first place. Praise the name of the Lord. So the power to protect is in it. In Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 6, it says, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark So a mark is about to be set upon you. You become touch notch from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, the mystery of the fan and fire. The mystery of the fan and fire. The anointed one carries fire. The same fire in Christ Jesus, which he uses to destroy shafts, you carry. Whatever is inside of you that is corrupting your system, I see the fan and the fire crushing it in Jesus' name. If you are privileged to be in village or visit village, you see how they use the fan and the fire. When you are setting a local stove, you put woods together and then you put the light, maybe kerosene if you have. If you don't have, you keep fanning it. Put the small candles, matches stick, you keep fanning and then the fire keep growing. So there is a fan, there is a fire. The anointing is a fan and fire. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, he said, indeed, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. John was speaking about Jesus, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Rise to your feet. Every chaff that is in me, let the same be burned with unquenchable fire. The chaff of sickness, the chaff of sickness in me, the chaff of ungodliness in me, let the same be burned with fire right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray, Lord, by the anointing today, let every chaff be burned up with unquenchable fire, with unquenchable fire, with unquenchable fire. Malose kete kele brodosha yada. Eklose krese kete kele brodosha. Be burned up with unquenchable fire. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now you will speak to that sickness, to that pain, to that habit. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Therefore, pack your load and go. In the name of Jesus, begin to speak now. The Spirit of God dwells in me. You know that sickness, that pain you are feeling right now? The Spirit of God dwells in me. I am a divine package. Therefore, Satan, you have no place in this body. I am divine. You have no place here. Pneumonia, you have no place here. Arthritis, you have no place here. High blood pressure, you have no place here. Romanticism, you have no place here. I am divinely packaged. I'm the temple of the living God. Oh, you have no place in my body. My body belongs to Jesus. My body belongs to Jesus. I will not be a scientific apparatus. My body belongs to Jesus. Oh, my body belongs to Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name. You are here this morning. You are not born again. The first step to receive healing and wholeness, not just temporal one, but permanent one, is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are watching from, either you are here physically or watching from home, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Bow your head, place your right hand on your chest, and say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. I reject the devil today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, your grace preserves. Let your grace preserve your people to walk with you to the end. In the name of Jesus. You are there, you pray that prayer. Please, why not communicate to us? And if you are here physically, I decree the grace.
No doubt you have been empowered for all-round victory, exploit, and unquestionable dominion over all life challenges. The end has come to all struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimonies with us by calling us on 031-301-6266 or 074-575-9240. You can equally send us an email to wmadurban@yahoo.com. Best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at in Durban. Our services hold on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. for English and Zulu interpreted services, and on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. God bless you.